Voices of Women is a top radio show that gives voice to the personal stories of women. It will inspire women and enlighten men to follow their dreams and create positive changes in their lives. Whether the audience listens to best-selling authors or a layperson like themselves, they'll realize there are others with similar experiences and feelings to their own. This show will give women tools they can use every day, which will empower them to step out of their boxes and create the changes they desire in their life. Chris inspires women to find their voices, speak up, and become leaders of their own life. Everyone has their gifts to share with the world, and it's time for women to work together to bring honor and respect to the feminine voice, which is within all people, men and women. Topics include personal growth, spirituality, creativity, leadership, and divine feminine. Now here's your host, Chris Stamos.
So welcome to Voices of Women. I'm Chris Stamos, and today I'm excited. We're going to talk about trees. We're going to talk about how trees can save the planet. So how many of you are tree lovers? How many have a personal story, perhaps from your childhood, of a special tree? And what's the connection of trees and women? And I want to read something from Jean Shinoda Bolen's book, A Tree Person May Have Been a Child who kept treasures in a tree, or had a sanctuary in one, or climbed up to see the wider world, a child for whom trees were places of imaginative play and retreat. A tree person met up with nature in childhood or as an adult, and like the four-footed ones who retreat to lick their wounds, may still heal emotional hurts by going to where the trees are. A tree person can become a tree activist at any age. So Jean Shinoda Bolen's new book, Like a Tree, How Trees, Women, and Tree People Can Save the Planet, will be a treasure for you to rediscover memories of a special tree when you were a child. She brings us to the realization of the importance trees have towards the future of our planet. When speaking with her, I really understood that if we could save the trees, we could save our planet. They bring us oxygen, they water the ground for other plants to survive. You've all heard how the rainforest is so critical to our planet, but how about that big tree in your backyard? How can one tree make a difference? How can one woman make a difference? So today my guest is Jean Shinoda Bolen, who is a psychiatrist, Jungian analyst, and author. She is a Distinguished Life Fellow of the American Psychiatric Association, a former clinical professor of psychiatry at the University of California at San Francisco, and is a past member of the Ms. Foundation for Women and the International Transpersonal Association. She is the author of 11 books, best known for Goddesses and Every Woman, which has been published in 24 languages. Her recent books call upon women to act on behalf of themselves, humanity, and the planet. The Million Circle, How to Change Ourselves and the World, Urgent Message from Mother, Gather the Woman, Save the World. And her new book, which is coming out on Earth Day this month, is Like a Tree, How Trees, Women, and Tree People Can Save the Planet. She's an advocate for a United Nations NGO Fifth World Conference on Women and Children, and she wrote the joint statement submitted by Pathways to Peace, Women's Intercultural Network, and Women's World Summit Foundation, convening of a fifth United Nations World Conference on Women, which was accepted and translated into the six UN languages. Jean feels strongly until there's a balance between the masculine and feminine, and women are fully empowered and can bring what women carry as a culture, we won't be able to manage peace and sustainability on our planet. And the UN has recognized that women need to be involved in bringing about peace in the world because women behave differently and have different priorities, and we need to empower women to have a voice at the peace table all over the world. So welcome, Jean, to Voices of Women.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be with you and with your audience.
Yes, and you, I've known you for many, many years, and I know, how long have you been working on this for you know, empowering women and all that, all the work for women that you
well,
do.
Well, the empowering women, whether it's one woman at a time in my practice as a Jungian analyst or through the books I've written about women and women finding authenticity and voice and delight and all of that. I mean, that I've been doing since I've been a psychiatrist, which goes back to the late 60s. So I've been doing this for quite a long time. The tree business is a whole new direction, however. and I brought together the tree activism and spiritual feminism activism would like a tree, and it had to do with having a beautiful, huge Monterey pine tree that I considered my tree in front of my house, and found that because it got in somebody else's view as it kept growing, that there was a campaign to cut it down. And I didn't take it seriously at first because I couldn't see how people would do that. And then when I got it, that for me, a tree is a living, beautiful thing. And I saw this tree before I even walked into my house. So how I could feel that way about this tree and someone else could just consider it a thing, you know, as people also view trees as so many feet of lumber, there's a real difference between a person who has a feeling for trees, for nature, and feels a spiritual connection to the great mystery, as the indigenous folks do, or the Tao. I mean, there's a, so then I'm speaking as an activist, but as an activist whose inspiration really comes from more that kind of invisible world. And so here is this beautiful tree. Here I am, a pretty good activist sort of person. And I realized it could come down, I really did make an effort to save the tree. And I delayed its execution a couple of times, so to speak. And ultimately, the vote that got won the day was to take it down because it was on commons or homeowners as part of homeowners' property. So I looked for the United Nations Commission on the Status of Women parallel meetings, meetings I had been going to for pretty routinely for a decade, knowing that when I came back from the CSW that this beautiful tree would be down. And it's because of that juxtaposition in me and actually in time that this book and a lot of the ideas that I developed came about. I mean, I went to the UNCSW. I was on a panel with Gloria Steinem. At that, I told her about my tree saga, and she said, well, remember, Jean, you are a writer, and writers can have the last word. So my tree lives on in this particular book, and I have learned so much about trees. I mean, the more I learned about trees, the greater my wonder and appreciation has been for them.
Yes, and you bring that out in the book so lovely. I mean, just I loved reading your book, and it brought up my feelings of my sense of trees and how I've been in awe and wonder of them. And you know, I love being out in nature, and I love camping. And I told you when we talked the last time how I had to reclaim my camping, how I grew up camping as a child, and then I hadn't camped for a good decade, and I sat in this grove of trees for a whole weekend and thought I could have sat there all month to just recapture that, the essence of my childhood and what trees meant to me. And it's a great feeling to be amongst trees.
Oh, it really is. And interestingly enough, we wouldn't be here but for the trees. In the whole evolution of this planet, it was the trees that through photosynthesis could clear the air of all the noxious fumes and things that made this planet uninhabitable. So, you know, it cleared the air, and that clearing also allowed the sun to come through, and life as we know it on this planet, evolving into mammals and then into humans, is possible only because the trees created it for us. From the time that it grew from sort of a greenish slime mold on a rocky, uninhabited planet to the eons that led to the plant life and then to the time of the trees. And actually within our collective memory, perhaps, but certainly in our own genetic history, we humans lived where most of the planet was covered by trees at one time. And you know, I can appreciate the symbols that arise as a religious symbol, the sacred symbols in people's religions and theologies and dreams and things like that. But one of the things about being a tree activist and a feminist is they really are related archetypally. I was in writing about Artemis, the goddess of the hunt and goddess of the moon, who really is the archetype of the feminist, that which exists in those of us, and it's not every woman, because the archetypes, the strength of the archetypes differ from women or person to person. But those of us who like you, could sit in a grove and feel really at home and be a feminist, have a sense of sisterhood with other women, and not all women have that feeling. So there's a sisterhood that is related to Artemis's archetype of the women's movement, and there is that she's really the archetype of the Girl Scout. She's every one of us who slept out under the stars and loved it, who camped out, who rode horses, who really have a relationship to Mother Nature.
Yeah, and we talked about that, and I grew up as a Girl Scout. I went all the way through high school, and you mentioned that a lot of the people that you talked to who were tree lovers had also been Girl Scouts. So that's just, it's interesting, you know, our common paths, and that connection you have between the, I mean, it's interesting to me that the feminist movement and the activist movement, it's like you're bringing these groups together, which is great. We need that. We need to bring those two together. Well, we're going to take a quick break. We're listening to Voices of Women. I'm Chris Danis, and we're going to come back soon and talk more with Jean Shinoda Bowman.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
ReserveVage Organics offers you the most advanced anti-aging product available. Our organic-based resveratrol formula, brought to you from the heart of our exclusive vineyards in southern France, has been clinically proven to reactivate your longevity gene and help preserve your youth. By including ReserveVage resveratrol in your daily regimen, you can enhance cardiovascular function, metabolism, mental acuity, and collagen production. If you want to regain your youthful radiance and enhance your longevity, do so with the world's finest resveratrol from ReserveVage Organics. Why wait? Visit your local retailer and start the anti-aging process today. ReserveVage Organics, committed to the extension of youth naturally. Available online at ReserveVage.com and at the Vitamin Shop, Vitamin World, and Whole Foods Market. Visit ReserveVage.com and feel vitality today.
This is Chris Stainis on Voices of Women, and I have Jean Shinoda Bowman with us today. So first, Jean, can you give us your contact information or your website so people can find you?
www.jeanbowlen, JeanBowlen.com.
Great. So people can find out your schedule, if you're going to be speaking, or I know you're going to be going, are you going on a book tour?
I'm doing a number of books. I guess mini book tours, because I come back to home base.
Yes.
But the book comes out officially, its birthday is Earth Day, which is April 22nd. And it starts with being in Muir Woods in the bookstore at Muir Woods, which is symbolically and heartfully really important, because Muir Woods is right over the hill from where I live. And as I've been writing this book, I have walk in the woods every morning that I can, and it's sort of like I've had these ancient redwoods as my support system as I've walked in the woods. And so it feels quite wonderful to be able to present the book to the trees, so to speak, by being, you know, in Muir Woods. And then the official bookstore one is at my local bookstore, local for this county, which is Book Passage, when Isabel Allende and I will have a conversation and launch the book. So I'm really looking forward to doing this, and the fact that it is on Earth Day. I'm big on symbols. I think there really is something about the importance of honoring in a kind of ritual way when things are done.
Yes, it can add that some importance to it, you know, and also it kind of locks in, like, you'll have that, it's like an anniversary date, you can't forget that date. Like, I started the show on my birthday, so.
Yeah.
So there, things like that. So you talked about feminists and activists and, you know, bridging those two groups together, and I'm curious because back when you started, back in the 60s and the 70s, when the women's movement and that word feminist just brought up so much for people. And do you think there's still that negative connotation with the word feminist, or is it outmoded? Is there another word to use, or what is your stance on that?
Well, I like the word feminist, and I'm very much aware that any word that has been connected with woman that has power attached to it or honor attached to it somehow turns into a negative word. And so I like to resist the turning of words that had meaning. Like, liberal is a dirty word now. Feminist is in many circles, something. When I hear young women who could do anything they want to say, but I'm not a feminist, it rankles, because the opportunities, the changed world that they inhabited that they inhabit now has so much to do with what was done in the 70s in the name of feminism.
Yeah, that's so true. Yeah.
As you know, I'm reclaiming the word crone by putting juicy in front of it, because crone was another one of these words that came out of the ancient great goddess in her three aspects, or the moon in the three aspects of maiden mother crone. And somehow crone, that used to mean wise woman, has become this sort of witchy sort of negative connotation, certainly. So, you know, the word crone, if you think of an adjective, you don't think of juicy. So when I put juicy in front of crone, as in how to be a juicy crone, it strikes a note that is a true note, that over 50 women have... you know, can have from 20 to 30 to even 40 to 50, I guess that's pushing it, but I hope to push it, mm-hmm. years to live. And they are juicy years, because we have more autonomy. We have more sense of how fortunate we are if we are in good health. And since the women's movement, there's never been a generation of women ever in history that has been as potentially empowered, educated, resourceful, and with positive feelings for other women as us. And so I have really felt so benefited by being here now, and really want to recruit other women who are now ready to step up and do something to make a difference. Because in making a difference, life does become juicier and more interesting, and we keep growing because we keep meeting people and doing new things and such as that. So I have been, especially in recent years, talked about something will come along with your name on it, so to speak, something that could give back, that could make a difference. And if it has meaning for you, if it's motivated by love, because it's something you... some principle or cause that touches your heart, then it'll also be potentially fun because of the people that you do it with and the and the creativity that it draws, that activism does. Activism is a way of individuating. It's maybe not the most Jungian way of looking at things, since Jungians tend to be a bit on the introverted side, but there are certain phases in life where stepping up and stepping out is where the new growth comes from. And I think that's what life is about growing and finding meaning and acting from love.
Yeah, and we, after 50, we're really on that, I think, women in particular are really on that quest to find that. What's the purpose in their life? You know, we've done our jobs, we've gone through the mother thing, and it's kind of like, what am I to do with my life? What's my purpose? And discovering that. And when you talk about crone, I think of, also there's this, that reverse side where people are like, okay, I'm 50, I'm a crone now. And I think it's more than that. I think it's something you step into when you, not just because you turned an age or you.
No, right.
You know, I remember feeling it for the first time. I was 55 when my mother passed away. And that's the first time it really felt like stepping into that cronehood, so to speak. And I still think I'm stepping into it just in my early 60s, that it's discovering in yourself what it means to be a crone. And with that comes that freedom to know more who you are and what you stand for and what you're willing to speak about and activate, you know, that activism. What do you want to do to make change? And that's what you're talking about, you know, find something you love. What do you want to, that you can feel passionate about and that is fun and you can, initiate and work towards change to better our planet. So,
also, you know, it's a generation thing. The crone age woman and the young woman together, or the young person together, are the activists that are the most efficient and most able to sort of get attention. The young people who are willing to climb a tree and live in it. The older ones of us who have political alliances, who are taxpayers, for whom at least local environmental issues are often local. It's the city council, it's the board of supervisors of the county that make the kind of decisions that save the trees or the environment. And that means that if you get the attention, like had I known tree activists who would have climbed up in my tree or tied themselves to my tree and made it a controversy, that wasn't my style, but I can see where that really is necessary to save trees sometimes. And one of the Million Circle conveners in Canada, Claire Peterson, talked about how she was taking a walk one day and she heard this voice coming from somewhere who hailed her, and she couldn't find it at first, and because the voice came from up the tree, and a neighbor, a young woman named Hillary, was up in the tree and said, "Hey, over here, I'm up here." And she yelled down at Claire, "Do you know that they are planning to cut these McGarry oaks down next Tuesday?" And she said that as soon as she heard about it, she's climbed up the tree to prevent them from doing that. Well, between Hillary, who was willing to be up in the tree, and Claire, who's great at organizing, and, you know, as we get older, we know more people to organize and network with. Well, Claire put the word out in around Duncan, which is a small area, and the tree lovers all did whatever it was that they could do to help. It might be to lobby the people that had bought the land and had just planned to cut the trees down to make a sport field. They talked to the owners. It was the people who knew the newspaper people, the people who knew the mayor. And in a matter of 4 days of that, pretty soon the mayor was calling Hillary on her cell phone up in the tree and said that the trees were saved. Now, that's dramatic 4 days of timing. I mean, we Julia Butterfly Hill sat up down, stayed in her tree for over 2 years and didn't save all the trees, but did save a stand of ancient old-growth redwoods. Well, we crones really don't like to live up in trees, I don't think. But we can sure make a difference on the ground.
Yeah, that's great. Sometimes we think that the problems are too large and what could I do to make a change? And yet we need to hear these stories, you know, these women up in Canada of, young being in the tree and the older person organizing. I love that sense of working together. I was just at a Equinox party and there was a couple that came up. They're traveling around in a van and she was talking about wanting to be in community with the intergenerational, that there's the elders to listen to and the elders need that young, exuberant voice too. And I'm beginning to see it more and more. It's very exciting. And, just to know that doing one thing, you know, just saving one tree, what a difference it can make. And then getting that story out there so we hear it. So.
Plus it does lead, whenever you start getting involved in something, you meet people that you wouldn't have met before and it extends your world. I just came back, from the San Francisco Commission on the Status of Women on Thursday night, and they just passed a resolution officially in a red thing, and speaking for the city and beginning a whole lobbying effect, they passed a resolution for San Francisco to become the host city for a United Nations 5th World Conference on Women. Now, that's been my major cause at the UN.
Yes, and we're going to come back to that. We've got to take a break right now, Jean, but I want to get back to that. I know you've worked so hard on that. So this is Chris Stainis. We're listening to Voices of Women. We're going to come back and hear more from Jean.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
You are a wondrous expression of God, Source, Spirit, Universe. How do you let this be fully realized in your everyday physical life? Oriella coaches and teaches people how to awaken their spiritual power. She also releases and replaces what is limiting and holding them back. Her no-nonsense, logical approach allows you to fully and easily understand how you can live life more fully, more abundantly, more powerfully by awakening to your spiritual power. For information, visit awakentoyourspiritualpower.com.
The average American spends $16 a day on food, and statistically, 2 out of 3 are considered overweight. With the Take Shape for Life program, you can not only shed those extra pounds on your way to living life at optimal health, you might be surprised to actually save money doing it. Talk to a Take Shape for Life certified health coach who's lost the extra pounds and listen to the passion in their voice and to the story of their journey. Call 877-520-SIMPLE. That's 877-520-SIMPLE. Results will vary. Talk to your doctor before starting program. Call for details.
Ladies, are you living an inspired life? Do you yearn for a more passionate, dream-filled life? Here's Linda Joy, founder of Aspire Magazine, and she has a gift for you.
Aspire has launched its Mission to Inspire initiative with a commitment to give away 100,000 one-year digital subscriptions to women around the globe. Every subscription comes with a multitude of free gifts from our team inspiration partners.
To claim it all, go to AspireMag.net today. No purchase necessary. And live an inspired life.
So welcome back to Voices of Women. This is Chris Stainis, and I have Jean Shinoda Bolin with me. So we just ended the last section on you talking about what was happening in San Francisco. So I know you have worked tirelessly trying to get a fifth UN.
What are they called? World Conference on Women.
Yes. And yeah. So tell us now, what is it? Is there going to be a good chance of this happening, or where are we at?
We are where the tide is turning. And where it looks to me, feels to me, as if grassroots support and support at the top within the UN is converging, and there needs to be member state support in the middle, and I'm optimistic. I mean, given that I've been doing this for really, this is part of being an activist. I think that when you see and believe in something and realize that if you don't keep speaking about it, nobody else will, whether it'll be on, you know, at the UN level or wherever you are, that there is, that it becomes what, it becomes your assignment that you take on. And so I took on, well, it started in 2002 when I went to the UN Commission on the Status of Women meetings because of the Man's Circle. I mean, this is how one thing leads to another. I wrote this little book called The Man's Circle, which is a sort of a handbook on how to do circles with a spiritual center and an overall notion that when enough of them happen, it reaches a critical mass and tipping point that could change the world. That little book inspired the formation of an organization that I became involved with. I didn't start it. But anyway, it was that group that went, and along with it, I went to the UN, and we had gone there with an impression that this is 2002, right after 9/11 occurred the year before, and we had thought that of course there was going to be a World Conference on Women in 2005. The last one was in Beijing in 1995, and there had been three before, and it just seemed like there was going to be one. And we learned that not only is one not planned, and it takes 3 years to go from the resolution that is passed to it being a reality. So there wasn't anything planned, and not only that, there would never be another one, more than likely. Well, as the years went on, and it occurred to me that all of what the UN stands for and has passed some wonderful resolutions involving women, like a recognition of the need for women to be involved in the peace process, or a recognition of how, I mean, so many different things that recognizes that women have a unique perspective, that if we could be involved in the major decisions about how the world priorities are, that this world would be a different place. And you can only do that by empowering women and making this world a place where there is genuinely equality. And you have to have a critical number of women involved in making that change, like the women's movement happened in the United States. It did happen. It happened because women were meeting in small groups all over the place and influencing one another to speak up wherever they were, and it wasn't some major thing that happened at the top. It happened because it was an idea whose time has come, and there were these women's groups meeting all over that looked to empower one another. Anyway, as I began to realize what the fourth Women's World Conference had done for the women who went to that one, I mean, this was the birthplace of the leaders of Africa, the leaders of the NGOs all over the world, were there, often there as young women in 1995, and now 20 years later, or 15 years later, which was last year, the leaders of the UN and the leaders of presidents of countries in Africa, Wangari Maathai, who won the Nobel Peace Prize for the Green Belt for growing trees in Africa, she was somebody who got to know other women in other countries, including Bella Abzug, who got her out of jail when the dictator imprisoned her for what he, well, it was threatening that she was organizing women, even if it was around planting trees. So the necessity, because of this Women's World Conference, could really make a difference, and because there's never been one since the Internet, and because we could live stream. Anyway, I'm just going off on a riff. I do have a passion for it. So,
well, you do, and you hung on. I applaud you for hanging on for so long. You've been the voice of this, and sometimes you can feel very alone and like, is anybody listening out there? I must be talking to the trees because I'm like,
right.
But something did happen this year with the UN. What is the organization? They made a, what's the group called now, the UN for Women? And they have
a major step for women. There is a new super agency called UN Women. It combined all of the smaller agencies and the four components all into one big agency. It created, the title Under Secretary General, which is one right under Secretary General, to head it, and it has as its first head a wonderful woman for the job. And this is Michelle Bachelet, who is the former president of Chile. And she got elected president of Chile, and this is a former Pinochet dictatorship country, very Catholic, very hierarchical in lots of ways. Here is Michelle Bachelet, who is a single mother of daughters, who is a liberal, who is a pediatrician, and who was imprisoned by Pinochet. And she becomes president of Chile and has one term, which is all you're allowed in Chile, one term at a time. She could come back and run again, but you can't run consecutively. This avoids what Pinochet did. So Michelle Bachelet gets elected president, and people, you know, wonder, well, how can, there's some question, you know. She didn't exactly look like this person who usually becomes president. First of all, she's a woman, and secondly, what are her qualifications? But when she left, she had 84% approval by the electorate. And what I see in Michelle Bachelet is intelligent, smart, multitasking, and a woman who really wants to make a difference. And she is the new head of UN Women. And UN Women as a super agency could be like UNICEF. You know, UNICEF raises money. UN Women can now raise money if it gets a high enough profile. And the only way it's going to get a high profile, I think, is by sponsoring a Fifth Women's World Conference, because that becomes a world stage occasion. So when I saw the potential of synergy and started to speak of it and have talked to her, to Michelle Bachelet, and also just have gotten a sense that the NGOs now are really, well, I could tell the difference because of the number of blue buttons that were people wanted to wear this year, because I've been going to the UN with these 5 WCW blue buttons for a number of years now, and it did take a change in American administrations for the Americans who go there to feel that we could do this. So things are moving in the direction, and I'm very excited and encouraged by it.
Oh, and so much could be accomplished. And you're right, the Internet would make such a difference. I know Woman of Wisdom, we're talking next year to go global, where we can have our conference as a webinar, and people who could never experience what we do unless they, you know, fly to Seattle. And so to think of doing this fifth UN conference for women in the Internet age would be...
Oh, yes.
monumental.
You know, every NGO could, like, send somebody, some girl or woman, to it with a smartphone, and she could report to the screen back wherever. And there can be many conferences all over the world, much as you're envisioning for Women of Wisdom in the United States. This would be an opportunity for there to be conferences wherever there were women who wanted to organize one, anywhere in the world, and who could have the perseverance and energy to do so. Well, the process of organizing, the connections, the sharing of solutions and problems, because my experience of being educated by going to the UN is that I get appalled and inspired. Those two words really do it. I get absolutely appalled at how women are trafficked, how children are, girls are, how there's not enough food, the water's dirty, the exploitation, the mutilation, the raping of women, and how nobody cares, or not enough people cares.
Okay, so we're gonna find out more about
inspiration.
Yes. Well, we're going to find out more about that when we come back. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back and continue with Jean Shinoda Bowman.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life, too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Remember, for our dogs and cats to live long and happy lives, just like people, they are what they eat. Wellness Carefully selects wholesome ingredients to create food you can trust to provide the foundation of your pet's well-being. True wellness means every ingredient has a purpose in every recipe they make. You can trust the quality of all ingredients in wellness, from their source to your pet's bowl. Visit wellnesspetfood.com to find a pet specialty retailer near you. Wellness, natural food for pets, where true wellness begins.
Do you ever get so frazzled you find it difficult to function? Many people are experiencing more stress and fear than ever. When we react from this place of fear and stress, we end up damaging relationships and creating more grief in our lives. Lynette McKenzie has a solution for you. The Energy Emergency Toolkit. 10 easy tools to go from frazzled to fantastic in 5 minutes. Visit openlivenow.com and download your free Energy Emergency Toolkit and go from frazzled to fantastic. Now.
Pray like a woman. Pray like a woman. Every day. Hey, pray like a woman.
Welcome back to Voices of Women, and that was Lorraine Bay singing Pray Like a Woman. She's one of our Woman of Wisdom people. So we're back with Jean Shinoda Bowman. And Jean, why don't you tell us again where you, what your website is, and also you have a petition there that people can sign to further this work that you're doing. So tell our audience about that.
JeanBowlen.com. And on it there is a link to a petition that now has over 11,000 people all over the world who've signed it, and it is providing evidence to the UN about how women and others really want a fifth Women's World Conference. It'll also take you or direct you to 5wcw.org, which is another website that's full of information and has the documents and the story that I get just to be able to share a little bit with you all. So I want to, recruit people to become involved, and if anybody gets recruited, good for you. Because it is part of getting excited about what it is you can do. And
so all of
my work has had to do with that, really. It has to do with get turned on by something that's true for you and grow into that. So for me, it's become this activist about trees as well as women.
Yeah, and you always, you talk about the book, that connection, and it was interesting because your book just, it's sort of, circular in it, and it's not a linear book, and it's interesting how you go from, you talk about the trees, and then you talk about women, and then you get back to trees, and you just did a circular fashion of going deeper and deeper into it, kind of like peeling an onion, and it was lovely that way. But why trees and women? What's the connection?
Well, trees and women are both treated devalued and treated like property so much in so much of the world. And the prescription for really ending life as we might have it on this beautiful planet is not enough trees, too many people. And the too many people has to do with, like, with the global warming conferences, for example. Nobody mentions that population growth has something to do with the problems we're facing. Nobody mentions it because they don't want to give women reproductive rights. So you start with the notion of empowerment for women, and it's empowerment over making choices about having children and how many and having them healthy and caring about whether the air and food and water is clean and good and whether there's health and education for them. And these are the priorities that women have. And where do our international budgets go? Well, the latest one is Libya. I mean, whether the whole warlord thing, the whole alpha male stuff that is, whether it's in the neighborhood of gangs or whether it's on the world stage, the decisions about our environment locally and planetary are being made by men who have the who invest in weapons and really in destruction in order to stay on top. And so women, from the very small thing, you give women a microcredit loan and they found that she will use it and her family and her village will benefit from it. You give it to men and they found that they spend it on themselves. So they've ended up 95% of microloans now go to women. You educate a girl, and for every year that she's educated, the benefits to her family and her village and therefore the world grows. So there's a whole thing called the girl effect. And the amount of money that is being spent on girls compared to what are spent on soldiers and the difference in that could happen if the girl effect, you educate a girl and a whole stream of events grow from that. The secret to making an evolutionary change toward the better is to bring the feminine principle into the world through empowerment, equality, expression of the priorities of women that are different. There are gender differences. Women respond to stress by talk, and talk leads to oxytocin, which bonds people together and helps people understand one another. And men respond to stress with testosterone and adrenaline, which is therefore responsible for conflict and humiliating each other and rounds of this. So, and if you don't have a sense of the feminine, you don't of either gender, you know, the feminine aspects of human beings are the part that appreciate beauty and vulnerability. It's the poetic, mystical aspect of all humans. And
that's within all of us, too. I mean, men have that feminine and tap into that, too, since we're sort of conditioned to be this certain way. So you've given us so much to think about. I want to give you a chance to have 1 minute just to give, what do you want to leave people with? What do you see as a direction for women, or what message do you want women to really get?
Oh, I'd like each individual person, woman, who has an urge to give back and to make a difference, to realize that you really can and that something will come along that you care about because it's meaningful to you because of the life you've had and because it taps on your creativity and because of the people that you will do it with are good people that you resonate with. And finally, that anything that's motivated by love increases the good that is in this world. And so
yes.
I want to recruit you all.
Okay, I hope everybody hears that. Thank you so much for your work, and wish you much continuing energy and all that you need to make this fifth UN conference happen for women and all the work you do. We just really applaud you. Thanks, Jean.
Thanks, Chris.
So I want to leave everybody with this thought today. Spend some time this weekend with the trees. Honor them wherever you can save a tree. You might be saving the planet one tree at a time. This is Chris Stainis. I'm glad you've shared this hour with you on Voices of Women. If you'd like to contact me, please go to my website, wisewomanpublishing.com. The author of the Amazon bestseller and award-winning book, Women of Wisdom, Empowering the Dreams and Spirit of Women, where you can experience the many voices of the divine feminine. And you can purchase the book at womanofwisdom.org. I also want to let you know about an online teleclass that I do at wisewomanuniversity.org. That's www.wisewomanuniversity.org. And the class is on how you can reclaim your feminine wisdom and become a powerful woman. Courses are 4 weeks long. The next one starts May 4th, and there's an intro, a free intro on April 30th at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. So check that out at wisewomanuniversity.org and look for my name there, Chris Stainis. So I want to thank you for tuning in. Have a great weekend. Next week I'll be speaking with astrologer Gretchen Lawler, who will share with us the transitions we're going through right now, especially with the recent equinox that we just experienced last weekend.
You've been listening to Voices of Women with Chris Stainis. Tune in each Friday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time for Voices of Women Today, radio with Chris Stainis.